Blog Talk Radio.
Ministries
International. And tonight, I have the pleasure and the honor of introducing to you none other than Minister Jerry Cleveland. God bless you. Minister Jerry Cleveland.
Amen. Amen. Bless God. Father, we just thank you for getting us up for an early rise this morning and starting us on our way, for giving us activity of our limbs and a portion of our right mind, that we may put you in the front of our hearts, the front of our minds, and in the front of everything that we do. We invite you in. We invite you into this session right now in Jesus' name. We want to bring you the glory. We want to only speak life. Whatever our Father tells us to say is what we say. Whatever he tells us to do is what we do. So he does tell us to speak life. It's an open book test. And when we look at it, we can easily know the answers. He says, choose life. I said before you life and death, choose life. And so that's what we choose to do today in Jesus' name. May it find its way into the hearts of your people. And if they are not your people yet, that they will choose life and become your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
May God add signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings to the prayer prayed in Jesus' name. And tonight, men, young men, boys, we have a subject that is essential for your well-being. And Minister Jerry, you want to tell them what the subject is for tonight?
Okay, the subject tonight is speak life.
Speak life.
Speak life. Men, speak life. Boys, speak life.
Speak life.
Yes.
It is important for us to speak life. You know, one of the things that I found out, Minister Jerry, is that we live in the reality of what we speak and what we think.
Yes.
That's the reality we live in. So, tremendous topic, speak life. Minister Jerry, you can start us off if you would.
Yes, sir. We have several good scriptures tonight. And the first of which is Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. And Proverbs 18:21.
And, you know, I think I kind of have an idea what that scripture says. If I may, it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Is that what that says?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can read the rest of it if you have it before you.
What's that?
I said if you had that scripture before you, you can read the rest of that.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I got it right here.
Okay.
Proverbs 18:21 tells us that it was just involved in that prayer that was given out. I started at 20. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat of its fruit. But 20 says, the one just before that kind of leads into that. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth.
Wow. Well, you might need to read that again. Come on.
Yes, sir. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And then, of course, it goes on to say, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Very similar. Very similar scripture. But the 20th one says tells us that the belly talks about the belly, and the 21st scripture, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It talks about the tongue. So as far as I can tell, we are in We are in a, this is a spiritual battle, and they liken it to food. They liken it to eating. They liken it to harvesting. They liken it to digestion. They liken it to the 20th, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his, mouth. And then the 21st tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we've got two things going on here, man's belly and what he said goes on in his belly, what he digests in his belly will eventually come or should come out of his mouth, and he should be totally satisfied.
You know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Therefore, he tells us, this is like you always tell us, this is an open book test. Life and death in the power of the tongue. Here's the cheat sheet. Choose life.
It is important for us to understand what the Word of God is saying. You got to watch what you say out your mouth. Because what you say can either give you death or life. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, I think something like the chapter 5, verse 3, something like that, you might have to go there. It says, don't be rash with your lips. Don't just say anything out your mouth. You better be careful, because death and life is in the power of the tongue.
Now, I got a quick question. When you say don't be rash, what does that mean?
Without thought, just without thought or kind of focus, without any kind of real motivation, you just bumble over with stuff.
You just bumble over with stuff. You just kind of spit out. So I think. This is akin to what you're talking about. You've heard people say, he doesn't think about what he's saying, or she doesn't think about what they just speak what's on their mind. Well, you know, it's a good thing to speak what's on your mind, letting people know, but it's another thing when you can speak it and you know how to speak it and you know when to speak it. There's some wisdom that goes along with this. Yes, sir. We're talking about the wisdom of God, but that's a whole nother. It's not completely separated. It's not a whole nother thing, but it's all mingled together. So we don't just speak. We don't just throw stuff out rashly, without forethought, without definition, without a purpose. When we say it, when God said, "Let there be light," He spoke with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Let there be light. He wanted to see. He wanted light. He said, let the firmament, let the waters be, and then there was water. So he gave his words forethought and direction. And therefore, they did not return to him void.
You know what, Minister Jerry, started a series on Sunday. We're talking about the seed you sow is the crop you grow. And we mentioned that what you think and what you say and what you do are seeds that are planted in your garden.
Yes.
And we did part two on Wednesday about what you say. Now, we went to Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Your mouth is planting seeds in your life. You better be careful what kind of seeds you plant. You plant some bad seeds, you're going to get a bad harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your lips. I remember Flip Wilson, you know, many years ago, he was on a variety show, and he played the characters. One was was Reverend Leroy. And I don't remember any of the message that Reverend Leroy had, other than the one he said, loose lips sink ships. Your mouth can sink your ship. Because the seed you sow is the crop you grow. And what you say out of your mouth are seeds that are planted in your garden. Watch out.
Flip Wilson said loose lips sink ships. That ain't scripture, but it's a good saying. It's a good saying. It's akin to scripture. Yes, you have to be careful about the crop you sow. Yes. We can't just frivolously, because of the spiritual beings that we are, we cannot just be frivolous with our speech. We have to be slow to speak most of the time. We have to be slow to speak, because how many times have we spoken things and said things, and then we see something, we see that come to pass, and then with hindsight, we look at it and say, "Oh man, wait a minute! That was a quick return." I've said that many times. That was a quick return on this or that. That was a quick return on what I said. That was a quick return on what I did. That was fast. Sometimes it comes fast. Sometimes it comes slow. But there's always a harvest.
Always a harvest, because that's what God said. You know what? I was just thinking, as you were sharing, I was just thinking, see, we were made in the image of God.
Yes.
And he spoke the word. In fact, in Genesis 1, chapter 1, he said 9 times. After he finished, the world was here. People was, everything was in place. After he spoke the word, your words have power.
Yes.
Your words have power to create things. What I said earlier is that what you say, what you think and what you say is the reality that you live in.
Yes,
yes. You can doom and gloom all you want to. That's what you're going to have. One of the sermons that I preached some time ago was that the words you say, they're like boomerangs. They will come back to you. But they won't come back to you like you sent it out. They will come back multiplied. The seed you sow is the crop you grow. You plant an apple seed and the tree grow up. It won't be just one apple on that tree. Is that right?
That's right.
If it's a healthy tree, it won't be just one apple grow. It'll be a whole bushel of apples. I talked about Johnny Appleseed, how in the 1800s. He planted apple seeds all over the place. And some of those trees, those seeds that he sowed, the apple seeds that he planted, the trees are still alive today giving up apples. Almost 200 years later.
Now here's a quick question. Did he plan on having a bumper crop like that for 100 years?
I don't know. That would take me to think about his story. But he was a pioneer nurseryman, and he was doing a lot of good things. He just didn't say that to give planting seeds in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Indiana and Illinois and Ontario and the counties, northern West Virginia now. He planted those seeds and I imagine that he might have thought that these trees gonna be here forever, but they almost are. The only reason why some of them are here because they done cut the trees down and done built up a condominium or a shopping center.
Cause a shopping center.
But he got some apple trees still left that he planted the seeds for over 200 years. Your words are powerful, and they can last a long time. You remember how you've heard people say, you say something out your mouth, you can't take it back.
Yes.
You try to, You might say something, you're arguing with your spouse or with a relative, and you say something that you really don't mean, but the emotion done got to you, and you just say anything out your mouth.
Frivolous. You become frivolous with your words.
That's a good word. Frivolous with your word. You've got to be careful what you say out your lips, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Children and adults. If you're 5 or 50, you've got to be careful what you say, 7 or 70.
Yes.
Because you can't, what you done said out your mouth. You love to put it back in there, but you can't take it back.
Can't do it.
If you try to, you can ask God to forgive you, but I'm going to tell you something. Somebody, whoever was the destination of what you said, will be hearing that years later, unless they put it away under the blood of Jesus Christ. The seed you sow is the crop you grow. What you say out of your mouth, glory to God, are seeds that you're planting in your life. And the sad part about it is, I'm going to give you some more scriptures, but the sad part about it is that when you plant seeds, the harvest is going to be either collateral damage or collateral blessings. Now, when Johnny Appleseed planted the apple seed, people got collateral blessings because he just didn't have apples on the tree for himself. But everybody who wanted an apple had an apple. Applesauce, apple cobbler, apple pies, apple stew, I don't know, whatever they made. And so it was collateral blessings. Don't you not understand that what you say out of your mouth can affect your family, your neighbors, your co-workers, your church members? What you say gonna come back to you, and it's gonna come back, it's gonna be multiplied. And it may have either collateral blessings for people or collateral damage. Elder, Minister, go ahead. Hallelujah. Minister Jerry? Okay, I think we dropped. It's called drop. Praise God. Are we gonna go on anyway? There's a scripture in Ephesians, glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Mr. Jerry, are you there? Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is edifying and building up and all that kind of good stuff. You got to watch what you say, because there's life in what you say, or it's also death.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor Peter, you see if you can call Minister Jerry, see if we get him back on.
Yes,
I think his call dropped. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. It is important for you to understand it's not it's just something I said. Something God said created the world. You are made in his image. What you say out of your mouth has ramifications for you and your family, your friends, everybody around you. Like Flip Wilson and Reverend Leroy said, loose lips sink ships. Sometimes there's some other folk on the ship that you're sinking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you've got to be careful of what you say out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Loose lips sink ships. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Philippians, again, Ephesians 4, verse 29 to 31. Y'all need to check that out. Write that down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Did we get Minister Jerry again?
He's on my phone. He said he was trying to call back in.
Okay. He won't be able to connect that way.
Okay, he's on speaker on my phone.
Okay. Minister Jerry, you there? Minister Jerry? Okay. Sit on him.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Minister Jerry, do you hear?
He said yes.
I don't hear him. All right. Minister
Jerry. Say something now, Jerry.
Okay, Bishop.
All right. Glory to God. Got you back. I don't know what you heard or where you dropped off, but I shared the scripture of Philippians 4:29. But I was sharing it that before I realized that your call had dropped, to go ahead with some more scriptures that you had.
What did you say about 4:29?
Oh, yeah. The scripture says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is edifying and good and building up and all that kind of good stuff. You know, I encourage people to read that scripture. Ephesians 4:29. In fact, 4:29-31. And don't let the bitterness and resentment, all that kind of stuff come out of your mouth. Because we're prone to do that. Especially if somebody is laying us out or whatever. We got the fight or flight response. You know, we want to strike back. But I'm going to tell y'all now, men, young boys, youth, bitterness does not erase bitterness. Hatred does not erase hatred. Strife does not erase strife. Love does that. Kindness does that. Gentleness does that. The scripture in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer, turneth away strife or something like that. Kind of a way rare.
Yes.
But go ahead, Minister, with some of the scriptures that you had there.
Well, I just wanted to add to that Philippians that, you know, that is one of the very fine things, one of the very good points about growing up is that as the leader or as the father, you know, that we are careful about what we speak and what we say over our children. And in this instance, we're talking about our son. We're talking about our male chick seed, you know, because they are going to be eventually a duplicate of us.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, Minister, that's such an important point. Sometimes we relate to our children in emotion,
yes,
and our feelings, and that's not. See, we hot because they did something we told them not to do,
right?
Because you are putting that fingerprint on them, and so they're going to, when they're old enough and they have children, they're going to approach their children the same way. You got to approach them with love. And with caring and with soft words.
That's right.
You got to lower your voice and just because you want to show them that you love them.
Yes.
Not that you did something wrong and I'm going to whoop you up and beat you up because they did something wrong. Blah, 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 blah. No.
You just like your granddaddy.
Yeah, comparing you with other people. No, son, I want to share with you, or daughter, I want to share with you because I love you. And there's nothing you can do about that. But you made a choice that was not pleasing to God. See, you can put it on God. Hallelujah. It's so good to have a Heavenly Father. You can put it on Him. See, it wasn't pleasing to God for you not to tell the truth. You see, God wants you, if it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. And if it's not right, don't do it. That's what He wants you. That's the way He wants you to operate. And you did not make that choice, but that you were displeasing to Him. But guess what? You know what He says to you? No matter what you do, He can still love you. But He would love for you to do the right thing. Now, you know, everything you do has consequences. I cannot overlook what you did. So for the next 2 weekends, You have to be in the house. You can't go play out with your friends or whatever. And it's not because I'm trying to keep you away from your friends. I'm trying to underscore the error that you made. And look here, we all make mistakes. But I want you to understand, son or daughter, that there are consequences to your actions. So before you make an action, you need to do what the Bible said do. And see, it's good to put in, you know, what God said, you know, and give them the address so they can look it up for themselves. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. When you get to a fork in the road, when you can do right or you can do wrong, ask God to direct your path.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, when you ask God to direct your path, he's going to tell you what the right thing to do. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to do the wrong thing. He will direct your path. But that's how you have to talk. Is it easy to talk that way to your children? No. Because you done told them 17 times the same thing. Boy, haven't I told you? And you feel like picking up something and going inside their head. But you don't do that. That's called abuse. But you got to be able to give them life with your words. Not give them death. Give them life with your words. And what you give them, they're going to use when they get in the same shoes you are now in. Do you have any comments on that, Minister?
Yes, I do. You know, I like that. I like what you just said with that, giving them life. Give them life. You can't just take life. Take something and not replace it with something else. So what you want to do is, Father, give that son hope. Give him life. Give him a hope that eventually I'm going to be able to come back from this. Well, I'll be able to bounce back from this. You can't just squash them and step on them just because you're the elder. You have to be able to speak life like God speaks life. You have to be able to give life like God gives life. You have to be all about life. My kid and I went out the other day, a couple of weeks ago. We went out to, Golden Corral. Went out to Golden Corral. And it was the weirdest thing. I was on this living food thing. And I'm still about living food. So I had this huge, and I was hungry, plate of salad. And it seems like, you know, salad will go bad in my refrigerator, but when I go out and pay for it, I just load up on the stuff. I don't know how that works, but that's the way it works. And I loaded up on that salad, and then, you know, I had another plate. You know how we do when we go to with some chicken on it and a hamburger or something, maybe. And that was on my left side. And my boy and I, when we were talking about this, we were talking and talking and talking, and eventually it got around to, oh, that's a big salad. I said, yes, this is a big salad of life. So I said something like, now over here is life, and y'all have to forgive me, all us chicken eaters and all us hamburger eaters and hot dog eaters and everything, but over here on this plate, I said, is death. All right. So in order for us to get life, we have to eat life.
Mm.
We have to talk life.
Yeah.
We have to be about life. And over here, I said, is death. Now, I like chicken and hamburgers. Don't misunderstand me. But if we sit with a salad on the right hand and we sit with a burger on the left hand, and somebody says choose life, what should be chosen is what's on the right side, the salad, because there is still so much life in that, all those big, beautiful leaves. There's life. The sun has given it life. The sun has turned it that beautiful shade and so forth, and it has preserved the life that the sun. So when we eat it, we're eating the sun, we're eating the soil, we're eating the life that is in that product. And that is the way we have to talk and deal with our kids. I said, now which one has the life? Which one is life? And it was easy for him to choose, yes. The salad is the one with life, and he laughed about it.
Exactly. You know what? As you were sharing, I thought about something. Sometimes, you know, we are rash. We mentioned we were rash in our words, especially if dealing with our children and they've done something, and we will say stuff.
Yes.
Privilege, like, oh, you're stupid. Oh, you're dumb. Those labels, kids remember that because you can't take it back.
Power off.
You can't take it back. You want to, I didn't mean that, but they still hear the tape recorder in their brain. They call me stupid. You keep calling a child stupid, they'll grow up and guess what they're going to be? That's right. They're going to act stupid because that's what you call them.
Yes.
You got to be careful what you say. If you want to put a label, in fact, I told my children when it's coming up, don't you call your siblings dumb or stupid or something like that. You call me, you little doctor, you little lawyer, you little entrepreneur. That's what I told them. You want to call them a name, call them a good name.
Call them a good name. That's right.
Hallelujah. You teacher, you. You professor, you. Come on now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And because kids will remember that. And some, see, a man, young boys, that stunts their growth when you call them a bad name. When you rash in your conversation, when you're frivolous in your conversation and you give a death word, you're speaking death over their ambition, over their feeling of value and worth.
Yes.
You're speaking death over them, and you got to stop that.
Yes.
A loose lip sink ship. Now, it's bad enough for you to sink your own ship. But when you do that and you're daddy, you're sinking the ship of your children, stop it.
You stop.
It's time for you to show them real love. And real love is not just giving them food and putting a roof over their head. Real love is giving them the understanding that they have value, that they're worth something, that they're special in the eyesight of God. I mean, we go to church and children go to church and they meet Christ there. They want to meet Christ in the home. Fathers, young men, you ought to pray in home. Wouldn't it be a wonderful testimony if a young person get up there, you know, I met Christ at home. My father and mother walked me into the kingdom. I don't know if I've ever heard that testimony. I think all my life, all my 78 years, I've heard one person say, I got the Holy Ghost at home. We haven't done all that we can do to show love. The greatest love you could ever show one of your children is to walk them into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you have any closing words? Because we're almost at the end. In fact, the clock says at the end. I was there long. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I have left to say is nobody God has given us, like I said, at the beginning of prayer. He's given us a portion of our right mind. Nobody plants a seed for it not to produce or not to grow. You plant the seed so that you can get something from it. You can get a crop. You can get something that you need, something that you want. And so in order to get that, you have to plant the seed, and you have to water it, and you have to speak to it, and you will eventually get the fruit of it.
Amen. And you water the seed that you sow with the word of God. And you got to be guarding out for the weeds that will want to come and choke the life out of your children, out of that. Those seeds that you planted. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Guard your children. Hallelujah. Show them love as often as you can. Not just putting the food on the table and keeping a roof over their head and clothes on their back, but giving them love through your words, through your quality time with them, to listen to them with your face. In other words, look at them when they're talking, because what they say is valuable as well as what you say. Love your children, and you'll be surprised. When you grow up, when they grow up, they will love their children just like you love them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you, Minister Jerry, for being on the call tonight. And again, those scriptures, hopefully you recorded them. If you need to get the scriptures again, just give us a call. Give me a call at 410-444-5152, and we'll be glad to give you the scripture after 8:30. Hallelujah. Coming up next is the Women's Fellowship. But Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for what our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. We thank you, Lord, for your word that you shared with us. We thank you, Lord, for the insight and the revelation, wisdom and knowledge that you presented to us. We thank you, Lord, that it was sown on good ground. And we thank you, Lord, for the harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessings. Now unto him was able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Thank you again.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Have a good evening.
Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Speak into your life, thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the 50. All you have to do is take it for COD. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty men. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you're weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Joy for me, but I know that
Can you hear me now? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Wonderful women of God. Hallelujah. You queens, you women of Zion. Hallelujah. We thank God. Thank you to all of you that are joining us tonight. This is the Women's Fellowship. Hallelujah. Of the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Hallelujah. And we are, tonight, we are, hallelujah, we're going to talk about a subject. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
We want all the women to hear and listen. First of all, let's go to the throne. Father God, we ask you in the name of Jesus to anoint our mouths. Hallelujah, Lord God, let everything be done in decency and in order. Lord God, we just commit, Lord God, the topic unto you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for boldness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless Pastor Maxine. Bless LDTV. Hallelujah. We ask you, Lord God, to just be in the midst of us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that you give us, Lord God, to gather around the word of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I ask the Lord to, I always ask the Lord, what scripture you want me to share, even in the mornings when we have fellowship in the morning, prayer. And this is a subject that I know it's controversial. Some people think, well, the schools should be able to teach whatever the schools want to teach and this and that. But tonight we want to talk about, because alternative lifestyles that's being taught in the schools. I was shocked when someone said, oh, well, they are teaching the children now that they can change their gender. They can be this or they be that. And then one of my daughters said on her job, it's a female that's in transition. And even when her picture is taken, she has this woman, she's turned into a man. She has a bow tie, suit jacket, and hair cut real short. And you're looking at her like, whoa, but saints of God, what are we to tell our children when they come home from school and we have to help them with homework and they have a book it's saying, it's okay if you're a female and you want to turn into a male and you want everybody to say him, he, female, and you calling him, you just calling them by the opposite pronouns. And then I had a workshop one day, and Baltimore City has a department. There's an agency in the city that is transgender, LBS, whatever the letters are. The LBGQ, yes, and it's like, what? And I was like, oh, my gosh, how do we come up against it? How do we speak against it? I know everything is to be done with spoken in love. How do we, and sometimes, I told someone recently, I said, we're going to, you know how you say, well, let me know if there's anything I can do for you. I'll be praying for you. But you know what, saints of God, sometimes it's something we can do besides pray.
Oh, yes.
If you know that somebody is moving into a house, oh, girl, I'll be praying that your transition be smooth. I pray God bless you with everything you need. What's in your pocket?
Yes.
You can bless them with the money for a lamp. You can ask them, well, what store are you buying your things from? And tell me the brand or the name of or describe the lamp that I can bless you with. You know, it's not always just a prayer that we can put up. You know, it's something you can walk arm in arm with somebody. hey, tell me what you need me to do. Tell me tell me what you need. Have you made a list? Have you put your list on Amazon? I'm going to go on your list, girl, and buy something that's on your list. What school is your child excuse me, going to? Let me cover that school in prayer. Let me pick up your child from school some days. Let me help you out. It's not the only thing. Prayer is not the only thing we can do. Sometimes it takes us to roll our sleeves up. Sometimes you got to get down and dirty with your friends, lock arm and arm.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you have to walk side by side with somebody. They're going through something. Don't always stand in the back and say, oh, well, I'll be praying for you. Yeah, I know you're going to pray, but I need this. But I need some help right now. And when it comes to our children being taught this, we're teaching them the word of God in church, and then they're going to a secular school? Do we take them out of the secular school? Everybody don't have money for a private school. And hopefully they aren't teaching them junk and garbage in the private school. You know, and you want your children to know what they're being taught. You don't want them to be taught anything contrary to what you're teaching them, or you don't want them to be taught anything contrary to the lifestyle that you are living in front of them. Like I said, everybody's not able to pay for private school or whatever, and you want them to be, to have friends, be in public school or whatever, especially if public school is right there in the neighborhood, and you have to drive miles and miles away, you know, for a private school and something is so convenient. But we need to know what is being instilled in what our children are spending, 8 hours in front of, and stuff like that. And they go in the classroom one day and they say, how Miss Peters or Miss Peterson, and then they go one day and they come home and they're telling you, Mommy, Miss Peterson is no longer Miss Peterson. Miss Peterson is Mr. Peterson, or we're calling them by another name. How confusing is that to the children?
Amen.
You know, and we have to have answers for them when they come back home.
And
God forbid they have a teacher that tells them, it's okay for you to do this, it's okay for you to do that, and telling one of my daughters, I don't know, she was in high school, middle school, the teacher said something to her about transgender, and stuff like, her son came home, and something the teacher said to her son, I mean, it was like, what? I mean, they don't mind sharing their lifestyle with a child. Telling them, I think some things that Adele can say to a child, okay, that's your lifestyle, but keep your lifestyle to yourself, I think there are some things they can say that are crossing the line, that's what you do at home, you marry to the same sex at home, keep your business at home, don't bring that to work, to school, or whatever, because then you putting stuff in my child's mind, and my child bring this home to me, that doesn't have anything to do with homework. You give me more work at home than what I want. I want to explain your lifestyle to my child.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my gosh. God, Lord, what stand do we take? What do we tell our children? God, help us.
Yes. Ooh.
Mm-mm-mm.
Praise the Lord. He will help us.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes. 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 Mm-mm-mm. Ooh.
Ready for jumping?
Yes, Elder QB.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm excited. I was excited. Then I was scared. Then I was going, oh, my God. They didn't have any of this when I was coming through high school back in the day.
Yes.
This is today the Bible's being fulfilled. The Bible is being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you start, with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I think the topic before is saying, is it okay for our kids to listen to this in school? What should we do to help them? Should we go to the school board? Or should we pick it? I say all of the above. First of all, start with PTA. Go back to the school parents and be in PTA and let them know this is not accepted. It may be this may have come down legislation in the school and the principal. It may be, but I'm not upholding it, but I am protesting against it. So when you take that stance, it's in the atmosphere. The other teachers, other parents hear this and they know this. There's some that agree, but you're a spokesperson and be adamant about it, okay? They're in your home. You discuss the same thing. The children bring those textbooks home that they've been given at school. You pull out your textbook, which is the Word of God. What did God say? First of all, God said, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he is old, he will not depart. Yeah, I know that's what your book says, but this is the book we live by in this house, and this is our lifestyle.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. They're not believing the word of God in the school system and the legislation, but in this house, we will serve the Lord. So you have to give them something to cite with, okay? Your voice is in their ears. You put records in their heads and in their hearing that they can combat the things that they hear in class. They can hear it and don't hear it. They hear us and don't hear it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So in school, when they hear something that's really against what they're being taught, they can just sit there nicely, calmly, and turn it off. Second, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 says, we are the temple of God, because that's where the Spirit of God dwells.
Yeah.
So therefore, if all of these things are supposed to be a part of us and we teach it, we show them, we live it, we talk it, and you ask them questions, you do want to know what's going on in school. The best thing we can do is give them our ear. Let them know that we love them, do it with action and words, and let them know that I'm interested in what you're saying, but in this house, we do not believe that. And say it in old fashion. The Bible says speak the truth in love. That's what we have to do. We have to come out against what is not the foundation of what you believe. All right, Ephesians 4:20-24 says, you were taught with regard to put off the old self, being corrupt by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God is righteous and holy. He's not in what's going on in the world. We're not a part of the world. But we have to teach our children how to defend themselves and basically to keep their mindset. We're planting seeds in them on purpose and do it religiously so. Find creative ways that you can do this by letting them know, oh, yeah, I understand it. And I said, find a friend and pray for them. Tell them how much you love them and find something positive about them. Reverse the curse. Whatever Satan is trying to do, you have the power with your mouth to reverse it by the way you treat them. You don't say, oh, get away from me, because today you're a girl and tomorrow you're a boy. You say, you know what, God still loves you, don't think you're beautiful. Find something kind and wonderful that you can say. And do this and let it be real. And when you pray with your children, call out the things that you know are challenging them. A lot of our children have so much bullying going on that they don't even discuss. And when they don't have an atmosphere where they can discuss the things that they're going through, they turn to cutting themselves, being insecure, being lonely, being afraid and intimidated. We don't want them to have an unhappy lifestyle in the school system. So we have to give them a happy home. Full of love, understanding, not criticizing, but loving. But you give them an ear to let them know that you hear them. You hear what they're saying. A lot of times we've gotten away from eating together at the table. Find ways. You can go in the room, hey, how you doing today? Out of school. Take them something nice in there to eat on. You know, something to divert them as you drill them. Those who win souls are cunning and wise. But, you know, you have to have a way to do that. And let them know that you're interested. And if they have a problem, if you set the atmosphere where they feel comfortable in talking about everything, things will come out. And that gives you an opportunity to set a platform for them. So our children are very important to us. They're our seed. They're the next generation. And they may not live to see our age, but we can plant the seed as we go. All right? And Philippians 4:6 says, I would be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You can do all this in your prayer time, in the things that you say in the home, on purpose, because they're listening. They may not be saying anything, but they're listening all the time. Homosexuality, transgender is not of God. And you must let that be known, and let it be known firmly but sweetly. In Genesis 1:28, it says, be fruitful and multiply to the earth. This is a commandment from God. Two men can't make a baby. Two women can't make a baby.
Yeah,
you have to have a male and a female. And you stress that. You let them know you're wonderfully made. And if you're having problems and trying to figure out how to be a strong man or woman, you know, I'll show you, we're going to go to the God and try to find him a mentor that will help you. For those single women, find a strong man. If they're hooked up to a church, find a deacon or someone in there that can help you. Send them to Sunday school. Let them be around strong individuals that are Christian and Christ-based. You cannot go wrong. In Leviticus 20:13, it says, if a man lies with a man, is with a woman, it is an abomination. So you let them know, this is what God says. No, that's not supposed to be that way. And that's of the world. We are not of the world. We are Christ. We are spirit. And you continue to say that, live that, and show that. And they will have something to combat with thoughts and things that they will hear in school. Amen?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is so true. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Yes.
Amen. How do I feel about a Christian lifestyle? To me, as a Christian and as a woman of God and a mother and a grandmother, I feel that everybody should have the lifestyle of Jesus.
Praise God.
And what the Word has taught us is that we are to go and we are to preach the gospel to everybody. And so we as parents and as grandparents, I worked in the school system of substitute, and I would go to the library with the kids, and some of the books that they had in the library, I didn't approve of it. I didn't agree with this. And I went personally to the teacher, and I told the teacher, I said, my child is not allowed to read this type of book. I said, this book, we do not agree in our house. And this book was talking about vampires and all that type of stuff. Well, we have books now, and the kids get on their tablets. It's on their tablets now. And what God wants us, I believe, because this is the time and the season that we're living in, and this is the time where everything is changing.
Amen.
And the enemy is doing everything he can to try to get a hold of our children and our grandchildren and even the adults.
Yes.
You know, he is doing everything. And he's trying to plant seeds within our children and within the school system. He's using them to help to plant bad seeds in our children. Well, in Deuteronomy, and I'm not going to talk too long because y'all have to forgive me as well because I kind of fell asleep and I slept too long, okay? But in Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter, the Bible teaches us in the 5th verse, it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. And let me tell you, the sneaky. He's like other dogs. And he's one of those foxes that will sneak up on you, and before you know it, you are in a position that will take the power of God to break the stronghold that
is
put around your family.
Amen.
And here in this verse, it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, and neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Now, way back years ago, before the gender of changing the sex and all, before that was brought out, you see that the lifestyle, the style, the dressing, started coming upon our children and even the adults and men, and they said, "Oh, it's okay," and then to wear a man's garment, it's okay to wear a woman's garment, and they began to laugh and they began to toy with this. That all of a sudden, people began to wear men's garments, and people began to wear women's garments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they forgot what the scripture said.
Yes.
And some of them didn't even know what the scripture said.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to be in the style. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And it says in the word of God that we were not. It says not. And I tell the children now, I said, what does the word say? I said, does it say that we should or we shall not? And the scripture said we shall not wear. We shall not change over unto another sex. That is not how God has born you. He born you to be a woman. He born you to be a male. Then be glad and happy in the gender that you're in. And you want to fulfill what God has ordained for you to do. A woman has a role to birth children. A man has the role to implant children in their wives. Okay? And so we have to teach our children, okay, in the way they should go, for when they're old, they will not depart.
Amen.
But we also have to teach them the tactics of the enemy.
Yes, yes, yes.
The enemy will come in with a lesson, a book, okay, that will teach them a lie.
Yes.
And you have to teach your child that it's only one true book.
Yes. All right.
It needs the true and living book. The book that's going to teach you about God. The book that's going to keep you from sin. The book that's going to keep you from hell. The book that's going to train you is the lifestyle that our Father God has planted for us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it says, praise God in his word, for all that do so are an abomination
right
the Lord thy God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you want, and I like to ask children and bring up, you know, different topics with children, and I like to ask them, do you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? And some of them say, I want to go to heaven. Some say, I don't know. What is heaven and hell? Because they never was taught.
That's right.
Some say, well, I want to go to hell, because you get the word of the last what the devil's head and all, and you want to scare people and all that. And it opens the door of opportunity that you can witness to that child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my answer would be yes. We should. Should we go to the, Sister TV was talking to the PTA. Yes. Do we go? And do we bring up the elders? And do we tell the parents? Okay, speak up. I spoke up as a mother. Mm-hmm. And I told them I didn't want my child to read these vampire books. And I didn't want my child to read about a Halloween book that wasn't pertaining to what the Word of God was saying.
Oh, right.
And I made a stand. And I told the teacher and I told the principal, I said, I don't want my child dressed up in these costumes.
Yeah.
They come home and they want to be dressed up because all the rest of them are doing.
Uh-huh.
Well, I tried to teach my children, you don't do what everybody else is doing. That's what God is doing.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is teaching you the truth. And the life. He is your creator.
Yes.
You are wonderfully made.
That's right.
You are to be a light to shine. Okay? God has given you responsibility, even as a child, to live a righteous life.
Yes.
And we as parents, we have to teach them, we have to train them. Sure, we're going to miss the mark sometimes.
Yes.
But you're not going to miss it at all times.
That's right.
And you don't want your child to be an abomination, praise God, and go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are going to train and you're going to teach that child in the way they should go. But when they're old, they're not going to depart.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that scripture. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That scripture that we're going to teach and we're going to train them. What God is saying is we're going to be an example.
That's it.
Okay. That's how we teach. Okay, we be examples.
Yes.
Now, the child knows, they'll know, praise God, they'll come back to you and say, oh, you know, that wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'll come and they'll tell you what your teacher's saying what are their friends that they're playing with in school,
mm-hmm.
what their parents are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll ask you questions. Is this right or is this wrong? So God always gives us the door of opportunity
mm-hmm.
to lead and to guide our children.
Yes.
And in the Word of God, God says that we are the righteousness of God.
That's right, Jesus.
We are holy.
Yes.
We are pure. We are the example. If we, Sister QB, know, I like to say this, we are to shine. Amen. And when my children were young, I'd be able to wake up in the morning and they're to shine for Jesus.
All right.
It is not saying that they're not going to miss the mark sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But what it's saying is that seed of righteousness
is
in them. And God will bring it forth out of them and turn them back and bring it up. The enemy, we have the authority as a right as Christians to pull down the stronghold of the enemy.
Amen.
And that stronghold is in our school.
Yes, so it is.
So we go and we let the school board know how we feel about it.
Mm. Amen.
And we pull down that stronghold. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Well, my teacher, that's why I say the enemy is wise and try to trick you. My teacher, children, what they did was, instead of saying Halloween, and the kids with the vampire, what they did, they said the harvest, okay?
Exactly.
We had the party of harvest.
Uh-huh.
But yet the incantation of the vampires and Halloween was in the party.
Mm.
And I boldly went
right.
Amen. What I did was I teach them that this is the time to praise and worship the Lord.
Mm.
That's right.
And they loved it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. They loved to worship and to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And they wasn't getting the spirit of fear. They wasn't getting the words of Satan, but they were getting the words of righteousness in them.
Amen.
So we are living in a time, in a season, that these things are going to spring up.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove.
Yes.
And what I mean by that, we have to use the wisdom of God to snatch our children out of the kingdom of darkness and put them into the marvelous light. And how do we do that? With evangelism.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to stand up and say, God's word says, God, we are not to change our sexual gender.
Thank
that
you.
God has created us wonderful, and we are beautifully made.
Amen.
God has given you a job, and that job, if you are female, is to birth. Hallelujah. And the job for a man is to plant that. And you will see things turn around in your family.
That's right.
All of us, let me say this. All of us, we had this unclean spirit springing up. If it's in your grandchild's life. Or even if it's in your children's life. I know in my family, I have some, and when I see them, I ask God to give me the wisdom that I can sow that seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And minister to them and let them know that it's an abomination.
Amen.
You know, this is what God's word says. And we have to believe the word of the living God.
Amen.
God is wise. He is a wise God.
Yes,
He is the truthful God.
Thank
and
you.
I believe that if we stand up as Christians, that we're not going to have this. Satan, you're under our feet.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. And we speak the word, like Pastor Willie said. You got to speak the word. There's power.
Yes, it is.
In our word.
Sometimes we think, well, I don't want to put a ripple in the water. You know, everything's smooth, everything's peaceful. No, just because everything's quiet doesn't mean everything's peaceful. It doesn't mean everything's going like it's supposed to go. And sometimes you have to throw some rocks in the water. You got to get peace. To be, it's a difference in a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. It's a difference. I had to learn that myself. Sometimes you got to, you got to stand up and shout loud and all and speak up and no. Say, I'm sorry, we can't continue this. This is not right. This is not right. And sometimes we think, well, I'm just one person. What difference? Nobody else is going to stand with me. So what difference can I make? One, Madeline Mary O'Hara made a difference. And so, therefore, as I was told, she was a woman, and I don't know if anybody else in her army, if she had an army, because prayer to be taken out of school. I've always heard of Madeline Mary O'Hara was the woman that caused prayer to be taken out of school. That's only one woman. That's only one person. But if we can, look, if we can, oh, we open up our mouths, don't be afraid, don't be timid, hallelujah. And sometimes you got to be aggressive, sometimes, oh, but you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you don't want to go to jail. Yeah, well, sometimes if that's what it takes, standing up for what's right and for right, what's righteous, I believe God will have your back.
Yes.
I believe God will have your back. And then sometimes it only takes one. And then somebody else is standing up. Somebody else is standing up and lock arms with you. And somebody else is standing up and lock arms with you. Then you find out you're not by yourself, because they don't want their child to hear that junk and garbage either.
That's right.
And the child themselves don't know the danger that they're being put in. They don't know the doors that they are opening up.
That's right.
For the occultic things, or for demonic things, and for them not to be able to sleep at night. When I was in a school-aged child care, one of the director, supervisor, and she said, "Oh, Willie, come here." She said, "I need you to talk to the children." She said, "Y'all sit down," because the little girls were going in the bathroom and they were playing the game, and they said it was all innocent to them. I don't know where they saw that, but they say if you flush the toilet, you do such and such in the water, and you flush the toilet, and the water turned to blood, and you say this certain thing. They saw it somewhere, but it was just like they casting a spell, saying these demonic things, and I had to talk to them. They were innocent. This was before cell phones. This was before the tablets, before the computers, and all. But they don't know, that the children don't know the doors that they're opening up for demonic things. Yes, they don't know that. Then strange things be happening around them, strange things happening in their homes and stuff. And the parents wonder, what's going on? Hey, you got to be careful what your children watching on television, who they're hanging with, who's going over there, whose house they're going over. If it's not a saint of God house, no. You don't know what's going on there. When my kids were little, and they wanted, even when Baltimore City gave me a daycare mother, I went to that daycare mother's house. I wanted to see what was going on in that house before my children went. And if my children was to draw up when they went in the house, oh, sorry, they can't come back. Because children's spirits are so pure that they can feel when something's not right. They can feel. They draw up. Oh, no, mommy. We have to watch our children's reaction. Take note that something's not right. No. A lot of times when a family member sometimes want to hold a toddler and the toddler draws up, you don't know what that toddler's seeing in that person.
Amen.
Their spirit is so pure, they may see something that you don't see. They don't have all the junk and garbage in them yet, so therefore take note. And whatever that child, when God tells us, and sometimes we may not know why a child doesn't want to go over auntie's house or uncle's house or go over your sister's house or whatever. But, hey, ask God, Lord, if something, yes, Lord, lead and guide me. Give me who I can leave my child with. Lead and guide me, Lord, and God will. God will. But we thank God for the Spirit of God. We thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for holy boldness. Hallelujah. Standing up for what is right and what is righteous. And thank God for giving us to be able to cover our children and the children that he has put in our care. I thank you, Pastor Maxine. I thank you, Elder QB. Hallelujah, for joining us tonight. Hallelujah. And we just pray God's blessing over the children in our lives. We thank God. We ask God to continue to lead God. Bless us and allow us to be a light even to other parents, to other women of God. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for what our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Hallelujah. Lord God, continue to allow us to be bold for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Allow us to take a stand and to stand on your word, Lord. Hallelujah. Allow us not to take down Jesus. Help us, Lord. We praise you, God. We worship you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to lock arms, Lord God, with each other. Hallelujah. To do what we can do, Lord God, to pass the word, to get the word out, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord Lord God, we know the Halloween season is fastly approaching. Help us, Lord God, to speak up and to come against the enemy. Hallelujah. Demonic spirits, Lord God, we curse in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. Hallelujah. Cover our children, Father, in the name of Jesus. Cover our grandchildren. Hallelujah. Lord God, let us put the word of God in them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let us be able to pass out tracts, pass out the word of God. Share with them, Lord God. Hallelujah. To keep their lives, Lord God, pure and holy. Hallelujah. And not opening doors for demonic devices, demonic spirits to come in their lives. Hallelujah. We praise and worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In his name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Bluetooth connected.
Empower me to see God. That's what I want to see. His offer for all the world to see. Him living inside of me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.